Good morning, everybody. If you guys need a Bible this morning, I want to make sure you have one. So we're going to look at Philippians 4, and you can let us know. Raise your hand if you need a Bible. We're going to turn to Philippians 4. And also, if you have a phone this morning, I just want to ask you to have your phone put away for just our time together in God's Word. Philippians chapter 4. A best-kept secret. That's a saying that you might have heard before. A best-kept secret can be explained as something great or something really unique that not many people know about. Something that's really valuable or special or amazing that only a small group of people are actually aware of. You might talk about a restaurant that you go to in Santa Clarita, where your family goes and gets pizza, or wherever it is. Maybe it's here by church, where your family goes and they get pizza sometimes on the weekend. And you think of that as a best-kept secret. That pizza, because of the way that it is, the way that the crust is, and that they have the perfect amount of pepperoni and cheese. That pizza is so good, but there's so many people that don't really know about it. That pizza might even be so good that some people who do know about it want to keep it a secret so it doesn't become too popular. It's a place that's a best-kept secret. It could also be just like a type of ice cream that you find at the store that it seems like only your family knows about, and that only your family always has ready to go in the freezer. It's a best-kept secret. Or it could be a really great or awesome campground or vacation spot that your family goes to and visits every summer that only your family seems to know about. And it's a best-kept secret. It's something that's amazing that only a few people seem to even know exists. Sometimes there are things that are best kept secrets. There are some things out there that people are just plain missing out on. Things that people don't really know about that are amazing and great that they're just not aware of. Things that once you know about them, you actually shouldn't want to keep a secret at all. You should want to tell everyone about how amazing it is. And I can't help but kind of think that way when we look here at Philippians 4 this morning. Because here we can learn and we can see some blessings that Christians get to know and experience and live in. Some incredible and amazing joys that Christians can know that the rest of the world doesn't. Some things that are almost like a best-kept secret that shouldn't stay secret. There are some joys that Christians know that the rest, people who are not turning to trust in Christ for salvation, are missing out on. And that we were also once missing out on ourselves before we knew Jesus, if you are a Christian. We know of other examples of this in the Bible that tell us about some of the blessings of being a Christian, and the list could go on and on. We could spend the whole morning talking about some of the blessings and the joys of being somebody who knows Christ. Some examples, Colossians 2:3 tells us that in Jesus are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That just gives us a small idea of how amazing and awesome it is to have a relationship with Christ. We have access to the perfect person who has perfect wisdom and knowledge that no one else has perfectly. Another place in the Bible, Ephesians 1, talks about how believers in Jesus alone have redemption through Jesus' blood. They have the forgiveness of all of their trespasses and sins because of Christ. It also tells us in Ephesians 1 that we have an inheritance from God. And we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ if we know him. Ephesians 2 says that Christians are created in Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for them. Christians get to live a life of goodness and joy serving others that God prepares for them. And the list could go on and on and on. So many blessings that Christians get to live in and know and experience that if you're a believer, you get to live in through the rest of your days. And that if you're an unbeliever who is without Christ, you need to know about and make sure you understand and hear what you're missing out on. There are some things that shouldn't stay a secret. And for believers in Christ, for Christians saved by Christ, God shows us over and over so many ways that he is kind to us in saving us and making us his. And Philippians 4 is just one of so many of those passages that shows us some of the benefits, the joys, and the blessings that you have access to if you're a Christian. We need to know that as Christians, we get to experience some joys that are amazing and precious and that the rest of the world doesn't really understand, that the rest of the world is missing out on. And I think that's how we can understand what's happening here in these last verses of Philippians 4 this morning. Here's a big idea for you. If I'm a Christian, I can know joys that are only possible because I know Christ. I can know joys that are only possible because I know Christ. That's where God's word helps us this morning, to remind us that we can have true joy that the rest of the world doesn't know, that only comes through knowing Christ. And it shows up in some amazing ways that joy does. Let's read beginning in Philippians 4, starting in verse 10. Paul says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment. And more, I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Paul shows us here some of the joys that Christians get to live in that the rest of the world doesn't know. And Paul shows us, number one here, that because of Christ as a Christian, I can have joy-filled contentment. I can have contentment. This is a passage of the Bible that teaches us about this so important concept called contentment. How can you have a life that's filled with a joyful, peace-filled heart that's content? Someone who is content means somebody who is happy and satisfied. They're at peace. They have a peace-filled heart. They're not always dissatisfied. They're not worked up and worried and frustrated and angry with all of their circumstances and all of the things that they want to change. A content person is somebody who's at peace, even through hard times that come. I think everyone in this room knows what it's like to be discontent. That's a very human and normal thing. At one time or another, I'm sure you've been discontent. Maybe you've even been filled with discontentment today, this morning. And there's an old trick for us to think that if I just have one more thing, then I'll be happy, and then I'll be satisfied. Then I'll even have that peace that I want. And maybe it's even just a physical thing, like the new Nintendo Switch. If I just had that, then I'll be content. If I could just be a little smarter, maybe, or a little taller, or a little more athletic, a little more funny, then I'll have what I need in life. Then I'll be content. We might think if I could just dress a little cooler, or seem cooler in some way, if I could just have a little more, just a little more, then I would be content. Then I would have joy and peace. Paul here in Philippians is an example of learning how to find that peace that we long for, how to be truly content. And it didn't come automatically for him. He had to learn it over time. But here in these verses in Philippians 4, he tells us in verses 10 through 13, that he's found it. He's found the truth and the secret to becoming someone who's content. How to be someone who's truly happy and satisfied and at peace, no matter what's going on around them. But what's amazing for Paul is that it had nothing to do with his circumstances. It had nothing to do with changing some things that were going on around him or adding something to his life. Paul already wasn't having an easy life. He didn't have a life that's always fun and rosy. In fact, here in Philippians, we know that he's been writing this letter as a prisoner. He said in chapter 1 that he might even face death soon, because he was a Christian, because he had preached Christ in the world. But verse 11, Paul says here, I've learned in whatever situation the secret of being content. Even in highs and lows in times of facing plenty and times where he had very little, Paul could be content. Paul could have peace. Anyone who knows what Paul knows here can have peace. How is that possible? How could Paul have that kind of contentment, that true satisfaction that everyone longs for? How could he or how could we do all things that God has for us in this life? How can we go through life with a deep joy and happiness that doesn't depend on our circumstances, even if they're really good or really bad? What was possible, Paul says in verse 13, only because of him who strengthens me. He says it's possible because I have Christ. I know Christ. I've been saved by him, and I have him with me, giving me all of the strength that I need to live in this life in a way that honors him and is filled with true happiness and peace, no matter what happens. If you're a Christian, you can do all things through Christ. That doesn't mean you can do all things like getting an A on a math test, even though you never studied for it. That's not what this verse is talking about. This isn't talking about doing all things like your middle school basketball team could take the Lakers and beat them because you have Christ. That's not what this is talking about. But Paul's saying here in verse 13, this is talking about a person who is content and happy and at peace and strong in all things in life because they have God with them. They can have all they need in life because they have Jesus with them. And so they're satisfied. They know a Jesus who is in control of all things and who's created them and who's working in their life and will one day bring them safely to heaven. They have a peace that the world can't know without Christ. And they can even, as Christians, accomplish incredible things and be used by God in powerful and unexpected and extraordinary ways because they have the power of Jesus with them. If you're a Christian, you alone can do incredible things in life as you depend on and know Christ who saved you. You can be used by him in amazing ways in your life as he gives you the strength to follow him. And you can have a life that's filled with joy because you know the God who is in control of all things and who can provide everything that you need. Down in verse 19, Paul reminds the Philippians that my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's how Paul could have joy and be at peace, how Paul could be satisfied even if things were good and bad in life. That's how Paul could have a peace that the world could never know, because he knew Christ who was giving him the strength he needed. That's the same for you if you're a Christian. You can have peace and joy in this life, even if things are great, even if things are difficult going on around you, because you know Christ. A few weeks ago, I visited the city of Rome, and that's where people think that Paul probably wrote Philippians. And in Rome, you can go down and they have this spot that's like an old dugout dungeon prison. And they think that's probably where Paul wrote some of the Bible, where Paul was a prisoner facing even the most difficult circumstances. And then just a few blocks away, you can find the ruins of an amazing palace where the Caesar lived, where the most powerful and rich man in the world lived and had everything that you could ever want for himself. Paul, in poverty, was there, and right next to him, the greatest king in the world who had everything was right there. But there's a preacher from the past, Spurgeon, who says that Paul was far more happy and content down in his prison cell than the Caesar right overhead in the palace could ever be. That's true for any Christian. You can have more joy than anyone else without Christ could ever know, because you have the strength of Christ in your life, giving you all you need, giving you the strength to walk in his ways and being used powerfully by him in amazing ways. That's what could give Paul joy and contentment in his circumstances. If you're a Christian, you can know joys that are only possible because of Christ. Because of Christ as a Christian, you can have joy-filled contentment. But number two, we also can have, number two, a joy-filled unselfishness. We can know a life of joy-filled unselfishness. In verses 14 through 20 of chapter 4 here, we find that Paul was still just overflowing with joy and thanks to the church that he was writing to in Philippi. It's been a letter that's kind of an update on what's going on in his life, and it was a warning to them about some of the dangers that they were facing as a church. It was a letter to encourage them to be joyful and strong because they knew Christ. It was a letter to encourage them to be humble and united like a family of believers in Jesus. But this letter kind of ends as a thank you note, a thank you from Paul to the Philippians for what they had done. And we see there in verse 14 that the Philippians had shared with Paul in his trouble. In verse 15, he calls them again, like he did in the beginning of Philippians, partners with him as he proclaimed the gospel. Verse 16 says that multiple times the Philippians had sent gifts to help support Paul as he had need. And then verse 18, he tells them one more time that he had received a gift that they had sent, a gift that was delivered to him by a man from Philippi named Epaphroditus. This, if we kind of step back and think about it, tells us a lot about the Philippians. And one of the things it tells us is that they were unselfish. They were joyfully and sacrificially giving away what they had in order to worship the Lord and to support Paul as he brought the gospel to the world. And this reminds us that, again, there's a joy that Christians alone get to know as they walk with Christ because they've been saved by Christ. There's a joy that fills their hearts so much that they just want to give away all that God has already given to them. And I love how Paul talks about this very thing in 2 Corinthians 5:15. He tells us that Christians are a people who, because they've been saved by Jesus, no longer live for themselves, but for him. Christians are rescued from living a life that's selfish, self-focused, so sad and self-centered, to be rescued to live for something so much greater, to live for the God who saved them, and to live for the mission that God has in this world, to even give of themselves for God's kingdom. Christians get to be rescued from selfishness to become people who are unselfish and loving and who do what's for the good of other people around them. They get to know the joy of living in unselfishness. I can think of some of the most unselfish people I know, and they're usually the most joyful people I know. I'm sure you can think of some people like that too. Those two things go hand in hand. Jesus said it in this way in Acts 20, it's more blessed to give, more joyful to give than to receive. There's more joy, more happiness, more blessing in being somebody who's unselfishly giving rather than receiving. And that's what the Christian life gets to become all about when you're saved by Christ. Again, in Ephesians 2, we find that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for us. What an incredible thing. You get to have a life that's not about yourself anymore if you're a Christian. You get to have a life that's for the glory of Jesus, being used by him, that's filled with good works, no longer just about yourself. That's God's desire for you. It's that you come to know Christ, that you repent and believe in the gospel, that every one of you would become a Christian. We know that's God's desire. But once you become a Christian, it's also God's desire that you get to know the joy of being an unselfish person, like the Philippians here, like Paul was, and like so many Christians have come to know in their own life. It's God's desire that in junior high, even as a Christian, you might start to look about giving in the same way that the Philippians did, starting to maybe support a missionary or a church along with your family. But even more right now, it can look like you giving your time and serving in your church in small and simple ways from your heart for the good of other people. Maybe it means serving at VBS this summer or helping your small group leader in some way before or after Wednesday night small group. Maybe it's just going above and beyond in simple ways around your house with your family to be unselfish and to serve your brother or sister or your parents. That's such a great opportunity for you to understand while you're still young. God's rescued you from living a sad and selfish life to living a joyful, unselfish life because he's shown you so much love already in saving you. Even now, you can start praying that God would start to use your life in great and unselfish ways for his glory. Maybe God will call you someday to serve him in incredible ways as a missionary or a pastor. No matter what God might do, now's a great time to start praying that God would use your life in an unselfish way and that God would show you the joy of being used by him powerfully. That's the joy that we see from the Philippians and what we see from this letter as a whole and what we see here in these verses. But last, there's one other joy that is only possible to know if you're a Christian. We get to know contentment. We get to experience the joy of being unselfish that the world doesn't know. And last, if I'm a Christian, number three, I can know a life of joy-filled fellowship. Joy-filled fellowship. Philippians, this great letter of the Bible, finishes in verses 21 and 22 and 23 with a simple greeting, a simple few words that are kind of like a nice little text message or a nice little thoughtful card from the Christians away in Rome with Paul to the Christians far off in the city of Philippi. A reminder that there is a group of Christians here that are filled with deep joy and connection and love for one another. They have fellowship with each other. They have true community and partnership and bonds with each other that nothing else in this world could ever know. And we can think here about the people that would make up all that's mentioned here in 21 and 22 and 23. It's people from every kind of background, every kind of place, every kind of experience. Paul even mentions there that there's some people who were part of the emperor Caesar's household. They were highly lifted up. And then there's probably some people in Philippi who were living in a deep poverty, who had nothing. There's all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of people that God has saved and brought together. And now they have so much joy in their fellowship together, their bond together in Christ. They were saints together in joy, living in grace. They were all living in God's undeserved kindness, experiencing what it means to be a Christian together, worshiping God together as churches. And what could bring them together this way, even from all kinds of backgrounds? Verse 21 tells us it's because they were in Christ Jesus. They were saved by Christ. Verse 23 says that they had that they could know the grace of Christ. They've experienced the fact that God has made a way for sinners to be saved through faith in Christ, apart from works. I think that's a great way for us to end this letter of Philippians, thinking about these Christians that were united together in the gospel, saved and living in joy alongside one another. A great way to end Philippians is maybe just to ask yourself if you're part of this group, if you're part of this family saved by Christ. Do I know the joy-filled life of being a Christian? It is a joyful life that to be part of God's people, the church, to be living in the grace of Jesus, that's where joy is found. To be rescued from our sins, to be rescued from God's judgment, to be saved from a life of sorrow living for ourselves, but to be saved into a life of joy. To live in a life alongside other Christians who are also saved by Christ, and to be saved into a right relationship with God. That's a life of joy that the world can't know. And that's the life that you need to ask yourself. Do I know this joy? Have I been saved by Christ? Can I know the joy that nothing else in the world could ever compare with, as Paul said in Philippians? God can save righteous people, religious people who seem like they have it all together, who know a lot of the Bible just like Paul did, but who still need a Savior. God can save the most unexpected people, like some of the people in the Philippian church who were once terrible sinners. God can save anyone. And you need to make sure you know that you've been saved, that you've come to Christ and become part of this joyful group of Christians. What about you? Are you part of this joyful group? If so, you know our joy is found in the good news of Jesus, who saved us from our sins and who died in our place and who has been raised from the grave and who's alive today. If that's you, you have every reason to rejoice, to be filled with joy today. A best-kept secret. It's something amazing that not everyone knows about. Only a small group of people are aware of. Philippians helps us know the amazing truth about the gospel of Jesus, how we can have joy, life-transforming joy, because of what Christ has done. It shows us the amazing joy of knowing Jesus and that knowing him brings joy that's found nowhere else. And it's joy that shouldn't stay a secret. It's joy that you need to know about it and make sure you understand for your life. God is so kind to give us this book to show us how we can have that joy in Christ too. Lord, thank you for your word that shows us stories, testimonies of people who were changed to have joy in you. Lord, I pray that every student in this room might know the joy of being a Christian, joy that fills them with contentment, a joy that changes them to live in unselfishness and good works, and joy that brings them into a church with other Christians. Thank you so much for your love for us, Lord, and giving us the gospel. I pray every student would know the gospel of Christ, would be a believer of it, and that you would fill their lives with joy. In Christ's name we pray this morning. Amen.